Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with my co-host, Kay Puttock. Hello, Kay, and hello to you, the listener.
Hello, Ursula, and hello, listeners. It looks as if we're getting our first real taste of winter weather, with some serious snow on the way. We've got a varied show for you today. But with snow in the forecast, it seemed appropriate to talk about the upcoming winter holiday season events in downtown Ames. And so we'll hear later from Ruth Wiedemeyer from the Octagon about snow magic, the Festival of Trees, and the holiday season events coming up at the Octagon. But first, we wanted to remind our listeners that tomorrow, Saturday, November the 15th, is the start of the open enrollment period under the Affordable Care Act for people who want to change or renew their health care coverage for 2015. So two of our guests today will be providing some guidance about the Affordable Care Act and open enrollment.
We also do want to take this opportunity to celebrate the success of KHOI's on-air pledge drive and thank our listeners for your generous response. We set out with a goal of raising $5,000 with a $5,000 matching challenge, which we were hoping would result in $10,000. And in fact, we received $9,000 from our listeners, from you, during the pledge drive. And so with a match, that takes us up to $14,000. So that takes us that much closer to our end-of-the-year goal of $40,000. So thank you so much for your part in this. And if you have not pledged yet a membership, please do so. We do have a goal of $40,000 that we need to reach by the end of the year. And so we definitely are still taking membership and memberships of $40 pledges, or $100 or $250 or more or less, whatever feels right to you. But to help mark the historic conclusion of our first membership drive, which ended last Tuesday night, we have a special report about the history of radio in Ames. It's actually, we're coming up to an anniversary that's kind of cool that applies directly to Local Talk. So Alex Pfeiffer is going to tell you about that. Alex is from the Ames Historical Society, and he's come in to make a special report on radio in Ames.
Yeah.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, Ursula. Thank you very much for having me today. Yeah, we're going to talk about the history of radio in Ames. And the story starts in 1911 when Iowa State College physics professor, fondly known as Dad Hoffman, became interested in the new wireless technology. Hoffman thought radio might have a future and that the college should begin experimentation. Professor Hoffman approached college administrators requesting money to build a wireless telegraph station on campus. The transmitter and receiving equipment was assembled in 1912, mostly made of handmade and few available commercial parts. The transmission line ran from Marston Water Tower to the engineering building. Most likely the station was operating in early 1912, unlicensed as was common in the time. On August 13, 1912, Iowa State College received a Department of Commerce land station license bearing a sign, call letters 9YI, operating as an amateur radio station doing personalized two-way communication with similar stations within a 100-mile radius of central Iowa. They continued this until 1914 when it came under control of the Department of Electrical Engineering and directed by Professor F.A. Fish. He maintained 9YI transmitting weather, farm, and market reports, as well as amateur radio communications. Shortly after that, on November 2, 1920, KDKA out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, went on air broadcasting in voice the Harding Cox presidential election returns, thought to be the first audio broadcast. Very exciting stuff for the time.
Yeah.
Now, Professor Fish, determined to construct a broadcast station, and he chose MIT graduate Harmon B. Deal to supervise the project. Construction of the transmitter began in early 1921 by engineering students Andy Wolfries and Eugene Fritschel. A multiple wire aerial was strung between the annex building and the Marston Water Tower, but this presented a hazard. The water tower was the only metal structure on campus and was lightning vulnerable. To minimize danger to the transmitter and staff, the station went off air during storms. So I guess if you're looking for the weather report and there was nothing, you might as well figure it's lightning in Ames at that time. The transmitter, was constructed at a cost of $1,400 and was tested the evening of November 21st, 1921, which is a week from today, I might add. And Andy Wolfreys spoke the first words over 9YI, thus becoming chief announcer. The first program that they had after that was an hour of live concert music. And I don't know if we could twist some arms here maybe next week, get an hour of concert music. Is that something KHOI as well?
In memory of.
Yeah. Okay. That would be too hard to do here. I think that's very interesting, though. But I really wonder how many people heard that first broadcast, you know.
Well, you had to – did anybody have radios?
That's what I'm wondering. You know, there was electricity in Ames at that time up in, you know, the late 1890s. But the Ames population was 6,200 and the college population was 4,400. So about 11,000 people. And you wonder how many people actually had radios at that time.
Well, you know, why would they have radios if there were no radio stations?
Exactly. So is it just Andy and Dad Hoffman listening maybe?
And what did they listen on?
It must have just been the old crystal radios, I'm guessing.
Uh-huh.
I'm not really sure at the time. To ask some of your radio buffs here what they might have used at the beginning. Well, Station 9Y initially broadcast only a few hours a week. Each broadcast began with playing Bacchanal from the Tales of Hoffman. Now, this was done so that listeners could locate the 9YI station among a clamor of other ones. And after the appropriate length of time, either Wolfreys or Fritschl would read weather reports and a few market figures, and then sign 9YI off the air. I think it's important to realize, too, that these early market reports they were getting were hand-copied from Morse code, things they were receiving out of a government station near Chicago. So they were still relying on these older technologies and assembling all that information to be able to put it out in a radio format for people. So they were very interesting. Now, it wasn't until April 28, 1922, that Iowa State College received its official broadcast license with the call sign WOI that we're all familiar with today.
And what year again?
1922. So it was about 6 months after that first initial audio broadcast that they finally got a license. Now, at that time, Iowa State was one of 21 colleges to hold a broadcast license and became the first full-time licensed non-commercial station west of the Mississippi, which I think is interesting because not only were they the first west of the Mississippi, but they used the first steel water tower west of the Mississippi as their antenna. So it's kind of two firsts there for Iowa State. So they would play farm reports and market reports. But also in the fall of 1922, WOI broadcast the first ever college football game, with the announcer sitting upon a high wood fence holding his microphone. They played Coe College out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, which beat Iowa State 24-0 at State Field, later called Clyde Williams Field. And an interesting note, that year, a freshman, Jack Trice, was sitting on the bench for Iowa State. It wouldn't be till the next year when he played Minnesota that he was killed. And other programming they did of the time was short course lectures, weather forecasts, market reports, educational talks, and music played from the famous Iowa State Campanile. So it's kind of interesting that how we got this little start in radio here in Ames very early compared to other parts of the country.
Yeah. And I have heard that at the beginning, when they built the tower, it was very much like KHOI. For a set period of time, they actually had to hand deliver the content out to the tower, very much as we did when we started KHOI.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they had to do a lot of that for probably quite a few years before they got a nice system all set up.
Yeah, well, thank you, Alex.
Thank you guys for having me. I think it's important to realize our great history of radio here in Ames and to support other local stations like KHOI here in town.
Yeah, and so so let's hope we'll continue making radio history here in Ames and keeping local radio alive with KHOI radio. I know a lot of us in Ames grew up with WOI and have a tremendous affection for the station. And a lot of the inspiration for KHOI comes from the fact that we did grow up with a station like WOI, which really, you know, embodies so much history.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much, Alex. Well,
thank you guys for having me.
And you're going to come again, right?
Oh, definitely. Okay. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye. Another historic event was the passing of the Affordable Care Act, and tomorrow, November 15, we'll be entering into the new annual time period or slot for people to elect health care with insurance coverage. We've got two guests today to help explore the topic. The first is Tony Murray from Murray Associates, an insurance service company in Des Moines, and Tony came in to KHOI yesterday to speak with Mr. Tom Beal about the Affordable Care Act. So let's listen to what they discussed.
Everybody's heard about the Affordable Health Care Act, which was passed a year or so ago, but I suspect many are a little confused about what it means to them. And we are coming up on an important date for those of you who are eligible for this program. And so to find out more about it and what actions you may need to take, we have in the studio today Tony Murray, who is president of the Murray & Associates firm in West Des Moines. He is a licensed health insurance agent in a position to advise both agents, I guess, and people who are seeking coverage. And we appreciate your coming to visit with us today. Tony, if I may call you by your first name, would you summarize briefly what the Affordable Health Care Act covers and who might be affected by it?
Certainly. The Affordable Care Act, commonly known as Obamacare, was the health insurance law passed several years ago. And in such, it required Americans to have health insurance coverage either through their employer or to purchase it on their own in the individual market. And when we say the Affordable Care Act, we are most often talking about individuals under age 65. And we are coming up on Saturday, November 15th, we'll begin the annual election period for people to choose their health insurance plans for the coming calendar year in 2015.
So the important date then is coming up, so that means people have some decisions to make. I guess an initial question would be for our listeners, what does the annual election period mean to them?
Well, the annual election period is going to be that time each calendar year now, starting November 15th to February 15th. That date is expected to be shortened as we get more and more into the law, things being resolved in some of the things you may have heard in Congress. And what that means to consumers is this is going to be the time of year going forward where you will select your plan for the coming calendar year. And the plan that you choose in this annual election period will be the coverage that you have through the coming calendar year until the next annual election period occurs.
I suspect that being an insurance plan, it's not something the average person would understand very well and would need some help. Who would they get the help from?
Some people are going online to the healthcare.gov website and experiencing some difficulties. What we would encourage them to do is seek out advice from a licensed insurance professional in their community to help guide them through the process. These people have been trained and taken many continuing education courses and been brought up to the company's standards that they represent to help people both decide if they qualify for a government subsidy, perhaps qualify for Medicaid in their particular area, or what kind of plan would be best suited for them.
Well, how would you find an agent that's knowledgeable in this subject?
You know, typically you can go online and find a reputable agent in your community through searching Google. Our firm happens to be an independent insurance brokerage, so we represent several different companies. Some insurance companies maybe will only represent one of the carriers. So we just encourage a person to seek out somebody that they trust and have good confidence that will help them find an adequate plan for them.
You mentioned the dates for signing up, for enrolling. I think the official term is annual election period. What if you miss that date? What do you do?
Well, if you miss that date, unfortunately, unless you have what we call a qualifying event change in your life, you're not going to be able to purchase health insurance for that year. A qualifying event would be something like losing your employment, your employer ceasing to provide health insurance, having a child, getting married, or experiencing the loss of coverage, which we call credible coverage, through a spouse or perhaps going off your parents' plan, aging out at age 26.
Well, if you don't sign up during this period, could you be penalized in some way?
That is correct. According to the new provisions of the law, the IRS will begin assessing a tax penalty if you choose not to purchase health insurance. To get the specifics on what that would apply to you in a specific individual position, I would recommend speaking with your tax advisor.
Probably the way to avoid that, though, is to sign up for a program, and then you won't have that to worry about.
Correct.
Is there any help in paying for the premiums? And maybe I should ask, I have no idea what the premiums would be, and I know it depends on the individual and so on, but maybe you could indicate what a premium might run and if there is a way for people to get some help in paying them.
That is correct. As we have all heard, you know, through the media, prices have gone up and insurance companies have raised rates significantly for the coming year. And again, it's a case-by-case basis. And by talking to a licensed agent, each individual has their own specific needs and specific plan types that they're attracted to. A qualified agent can really help them sift through that, walk them through seeing if they qualify for a subsidy, and also helping direct them to a plan that fits within their budget.
What kind of thing might qualify a person for a subsidy?
Those subsidies are going to be income-driven, so the process would start by going on the healthcare.gov website, which everyone heard was a nightmare last year. If you do work with a qualified agent, that does kind of lessen the burden and the frustration that a consumer might encounter when they're searching that. But the healthcare.gov website will help a person see, based on their income level, number of dependents in their household, if they qualify for a subsidy, if they do not, or it may actually direct them to their state Medicaid office if their income requirements meet that.
There were horror stories about the delay in using that site a year ago. Have you any experience in how it's working now?
I have gone online and tested it a couple of times in the last week with some customers that have been asking in advance of the open enrollment period. And the kinks aren't quite worked out of it, but in my experience, it is operating more smoothly than what we experienced last year.
Do you have any idea what percentage of people who sign up for this program are eligible for some kind of premium help?
You know, unfortunately, I don't have any metrics on that. It could be a very widespread. The subsidies are going to be based on the plans in your area, and that's determined by both the county and the zip code that you live in, and those will vary on a case-by-case basis.
Do you know if this program covers extraordinary health expenses, or what is the range of coverage typically available with this program?
The plans that you can purchase are similar to the ones that we did offer prior to the Affordable Care Act. People can purchase plans that will offer them an office copay, coinsurance, out-of-pocket maximums for both individuals and their families, and other plans like health savings accounts or HSA plans are also available on and off the exchange for clients to consider.
I know I get mail from insurance companies offering special coverage for cancer or for an accident or something, and I assume that there might be similar options with the Affordable Health Care Plan. We're talking with Tony Murray, who is president of Murray & Associates of West Des Moines, and we're discussing the Affordable Health Care Plan and the fact that we're just beginning the annual election period. So you may want to pay close attention to get the information you need so you know what to do if you haven't already worked that out. We have discussed some general topics relating to the plan, and I suppose it would be helpful if we talked about the agents that you said could be so helpful in helping people work their way through this. I mean, I think everybody is a little concerned about the complexity of insurance, and most everyday people don't know enough about it to know what do I need and what can I get by without. You were talking about going to agents, so perhaps we should come back to that topic. How do you find an agent? What do you look for so that you are confident that that person can give you the advice you need?
What we would recommend is that you seek out an individual who is licensed in the state for which you want to purchase health insurance. Those individuals have gone through both testing required by the state in which they are licensed, asserting that they meet certain background checks for criminal history, ethical responsibilities, things of that nature. Another thing that is wise to consider when looking at working with an agent is they are required to carry professional liability insurance for the recommendations they make. So in the event that you may have a grievance and feel that you were not truly represented correctly and not put in the most appropriate plan for you, a licensed insurance agent, at least in the state of Iowa, will be required to carry what we call errors and omissions insurance to assist in any remedies that might arise regarding a grievance from a client who may be dissatisfied. There are many qualified agents throughout the entire state of Iowa. Anyone that you may want to choose would be more than happy to help you and, you know, would provide the highest caliber service. Some things to consider are individuals that will return your calls very promptly, individuals that will take the time to sit down with you and answer all your questions and not just very hurriedly try to get you sold into a product. Those would be some things that I would recommend consumers keep in mind.
Well, what does it cost to talk to an agent?
Agent services for consultations are absolutely free. Agents are compensated. If you purchase a plan, they earn a servicing fee each month or on an annual basis, depending on the company, to continually service your account. So as long as you have a product with that agent, if you call them with a question or have any concerns that arise, you can contact that agent and they are being compensated to service that policy for you. Another thing to perhaps consider regarding that is most companies now compensate their agents on a flat fee per sale. In the old world of selling health insurance, some companies compensated their agents on a percentage of the premium, which could perhaps, you know, result in that agent, you know, driving them into a higher price product because they would earn more money. So that would be another question I would recommend that consumers ask is, how is their agent going to be compensated for that plan? By being paid on a flat fee, you can really ensure that the client and the agent are making a joint decision based on the best interests, because there's no financial interest for selling one price over the other.
Would there be any incentive for the agent to spend less time with you because they only get the same amount no matter how much time they help you?
That would depend on the agent. Unfortunately, we can't speak to every single individual. But again, that would be something a client would need to make a determination if that personality and if that agent and that individual are a good fit to work together. You know, I would highly encourage people to just be attracted to agents that are willing to spend that time with them. You know, if you have somebody that you trust as a friend and maybe want to consider asking them who their agent is, perhaps that's a good way to find a reputable person as well.
Now, if I were signed up for the program last year and I qualified for a subsidy or some kind of help, would I have to reapply this year?
Yes, that is correct. The subsidies are applied based on your income level on an annual basis. So if you did qualify for a subsidy last year and you wish to see if you qualify for the coming year, you'll need to estimate your income. And again, that can be done with a licensed agent and reapply for that subsidy because it may change based on your income.
Could you go to the government website on your own and do this, or would it make more sense to go through your agent?
Some individuals are comfortable navigating that website. It really depends on the client's proficiency and knowledge of, you know, health insurance on their own. You know, if you want to make sure that you're getting the most sound advice, again, we do recommend working with a licensed professional.
We know a related question to the one I asked about whether you qualify for a subsidy is whether you need to change your plan. Maybe the plan you have isn't quite right. How do you go about doing that?
This annual election period is going to be the only time in the year that you're able to select your plan. So it's very important to a client to consider, what are my family's or my needs in the coming year? Are we going to max out our deductible? Do we have children? Do we like paying a certain flat fee when we go to the doctor? Or are we okay just paying everything out of pocket until the deductible's met and we don't really go to the doctor that often? So by asking those questions to yourself and then seeking out a professional to help you, you can change your product. And that can be done now on an annual basis without the fear of being excluded for a pre-existing condition or rated up because of maybe some poor health history.
Well, you mentioned pre-existing condition, but I thought that this Health Care Act dealt with that question. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yes. It is now against the law under the Affordable Care Act for any plans being offered now post-March of 2010 to exclude anyone from coverage based on a pre-existing condition or to increase their rates because of that pre-existing condition.
So it shouldn't be an issue then. If you are just signing up for the first time, you need to worry too much about. Is that true?
Yes, for a qualified plan.
I heard that Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Iowa are not in the marketplace for this plan, does this mean that I can't buy a Blue Cross or Blue Shield of Iowa?
No, it certainly does not mean you can't purchase that. Blue Cross Blue Shield is a very strong company in the state of Iowa. They are a very good company, and they're a very reputable company. They pay their claims very, you know, accurately and on time, and we do have a lot of clients that do like Blue Cross Blue Shield because of their level of service. Now, the choice by Blue Cross Blue Shield not to participate in what we call the marketplace means that if you do qualify for a government subsidy to assist you in paying your health insurance premiums, that would not be an option because Wellmark has chosen not to participate in that particular market share. So you would be responsible for paying 100% of the premiums to Blue Cross Blue Shield even if you would qualify for a subsidy.
Well, that would certainly suggest that people would want to consider alternatives. I've heard that there is a new carrier, Co-Opportunity Health. Would you consider them a good option for this program?
They are very new into the marketplace, and so far we have seen very positive results. I have had several clients that were able to find a plan that fits their needs with a very acceptable market, and they were also able to save a substantial amount of money by choosing a plan through Co-Opportunity. Again, it would depend on an individual case-by-case basis, but I have seen very good results with some of the clients I work with choosing Co-Opportunity as an option.
We're coming up, as you said at the beginning of our discussion, with the deadline. We probably should talk about that one more time, what people should do and how much time they have to do it.
The annual election period is going to be running from November 15th of 2014 to February 15th of 2015. That means that if you want a plan to start effective January 1st, you must enroll in coverage by December 15th. If you have not purchased a plan by February 15th, which would then take effect by March 1st of 2015, you will not be able to purchase health insurance until next fall when the next annual election period comes up, unless you have a qualifying life event change, as we discussed earlier.
If you have insurance already, would you then you just terminate that and start with the new program?
It really would depend on a case-by-case basis, but this would be an opportunity for anybody, if you have any questions or any second thoughts about your plan, to at least explore your options. And even if you do have a plan that you're still allowed to keep, I would recommend even looking in any way because you may find something that suits your needs better.
We've been talking with Tony Murray, the president of Murray & Associates of West Des Moines, about the Affordable Health Care Act and the fact that it's time to sign up if you're eligible to do so. I really appreciate your taking time to talk with us about this program. I think many people are afraid because insurance is complicated, and much has been said that about this act being complicated and hard to understand. And your advice that individuals should go to an agent, and you said there will be no charge for that initial consultation, is encouraging so that you can at least get the answers to your questions, and then you'll know what to do next. So anyway, thanks for coming in, Tony, and we hope to talk to you again sometime.
Well, thank you very much for your time. It was a pleasure being here.
This is Local Talk on KGY Community Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Kay Puttock, together with my co-host, Ursula Rudenbuck. We just heard Tony Murray of Murray & Associates in Des Moines talking about the open enrollment period for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act.
Tony Murray does come to up north from Des Moines to Ames and the surrounding areas on a weekly basis. That's how we met him. And if you would like to find out more about him or his company, he can be found at murrayinsuranceia.com. That's Murray is spelled M-U-R-R-A-Y, insuranceia.com.
Our next guest, Shannon White, is also an expert on the Affordable Care Act, but she's a navigator. That is, she's been trained and government certified to guide people and answer their questions about enrolling for insurance in the government health insurance marketplace. I should mention that Shannon also represents Planned Parenthood of the Heartland, which is the community service organization that KHOI is featuring this month with interviews like this one, and also with public service announcements highlighting the services that this organization offers to the community. Well, my guest today is Shannon White, who's a navigator for the Affordable Care Act, but she's here today as a representative of Planned Parenthood. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you. Good morning.
Welcome to Local Talk. What exactly is your connection? What is the connection between Planned Parenthood and the Affordable Care Act?
The connection between the ACA and Planned Parenthood is that Iowa is a state that is both state and federally ran through the marketplace. So each state, if they are partnered with the federal marketplace, they organizations have a chance to apply for the grant to be one of the representatives and apply for a navigator grant for the ACA. Planned Parenthood was one of those entities that applied for the grant and was awarded monies to be able to bring on navigators.
So you're a navigator for the Affordable Care Act.
Yes.
And what exactly is a navigator and why does Planned Parenthood have them?
Well, Planned Parenthood is a community health entity, mm-hmm. which means that they do promote health, and being that the Affordable Health Care Act is about health insurance, that was one of the reasons they did get awarded for the grant. As a navigator, my role is to assist consumers, which are individuals, small employers, and employees navigate through the marketplace. The marketplace is where you would actually go to look at the private insurances that are offered with those benefits of the ACA. And so our job as navigators is to go and assist those individuals, apply and enroll, you know, just the everyday, well, not everyday, but apply and enroll through mm-hmm. the marketplace and educate.
And for how long have you been doing this, Shannon?
This will be going into my second year of doing it.
Uh-huh. And about how many people have you helped find insurance?
Last year, our entity alone probably served about 1,500 uh-huh. people throughout the state.
You mean Planned Parenthood?
Yes, Planned uh-huh. Parenthood.
Okay. And has anything changed about the Affordable Care Act since last year?
Nothing has changed this year. As we all know, when things change, it kind of just comes all of a sudden, and we just roll with it then. But as far as right now, nothing has changed from last year.
And when does the next enrollment period begin?
The next enrollment period starts November 15, 2014, and it goes all the way through February 15, 2015.
So it's coming up pretty soon.
It's coming up pretty soon.
If I signed up last year, I don't need to re-enroll, do I?
If you signed up last year, what will happen is that you should have or you should be receiving, I think, by October 31st, a notice from the insurance company. If you enrolled through the marketplace, you'll receive a notice from your private insurance company stating that re-enrollment will be starting November 15th. It'll give you an option to stay in that plan, and you just select that and you send it back, and you'll continue with the same plan that you are if you're satisfied with that.
Okay.
If you're not satisfied with that plan, then November 15th will be your opportunity to go back into your marketplace account and just go and look in sign up for a different plan.
So isn't a sort of default that will keep me enrolled unless I request to be changed? Okay. So
yes.
I do have to re-enroll then. Okay.
Yeah. And if you don't choose anything, then they'll automatically re-enroll you in that plan.
Okay. Well,
so,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And what happens if I don't enroll?
Well, since this was initiated last year, if you don't enroll, fees will apply. If you didn't enroll this year, if you go to file your income tax, a fee will be applied if you don't have proof of insurance.
But we're talking here about enrolling for the first time, right?
Yep, and that started last year, November 15th of last year, 2013. The fees started last year with that enrollment, January 1st of 2014. So if you didn't have insurance starting January 1st, 2014, the fees will apply when you go to file for your 2014 income taxes.
Okay, so there'll be a penalty there.
There'll be a penalty.
But regarding re-enrolling, are there penalties there if I forget to re-enroll?
No, because you'll automatically re-enroll.
Right,
so
it'll happen automatically. Okay.
Yes, and the fees assessed will be $95 for each person, each adult in your household, and $45 for each children in your household, and each child in your household, or 1% of your income. So whatever is the highest.
Well, on the subject of money, there is also financial assistance available, I believe, for people, you know, that need it with their insurance.
Yes, it goes to 100 to 400% of the federal poverty level. I don't have the numbers right off me, but if you look on healthcare.gov, they'll also give you an income guideline of what you should be eligible for when it comes to tax subsidies and cost sharing. And enrolling into the marketplace is always free. You're not obligated, even if you turn in the application. If you go in and submit an application, you're not obligated to purchase a plan through the marketplace. But it will give you a better idea of what tax credits you'll be able to receive and any cost sharing help that you'll be able to receive. So, you know, we encourage everyone to at least go and try to apply and then online to see what you will be eligible for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What should a person look for in an insurance plan?
Cost is number one.
I guess that's a big thing.
Yes, it is. And then also, if you would like to stay with your current provider, we make sure that checking to see if they do accept those private insurances. Right now on the marketplace, there's Co-Opportunity. And there's also Coventry. So it's important to check with your provider if that's, you know, important for you to stay with your current provider to see if they do accept those insurances. Also, the type of services that you need. Say that, for example, if you do have diabetes, the insurance plan that you pick, will they be able to cover all your costs and cares that you need to go along with your, you know, diabetes as far as like your insulin? Look at things like that as well.
Right. The special care that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And you've mentioned that people can stay with the same provider if they wish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just have to make sure that they do take the insurance if you do go.
Are there any events connected with enrollment in the ACA coming up in our area?
November 15th, if you are in the Des Moines area, Evelyn K. Davis Center, which is located on the corner of 6th Avenue and University in Des Moines, November 15th, we'll be having the kickoff of enrollment. So they'll have an enrollment fair at the Evelyn K. Davis Center.
And the hours for that is more or less?
The hours for that is 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Oh, so it's more or less all day, yeah.
Yes, more or less all day. And then also, the Iowa Insurance Division has a website as well. And you just look up the ACA calendar, and any enrollment events that we have going on in the state will always be listed on that calendar.
Okay. And do I need to be a Planned Parenthood patient to attend an enrollment event?
No, you do not, because we are part of the ACA. You do not have to be a Planned Parenthood patient to acquire our services. Our services are free always.
Mm-hmm.
We have a 1-800 number.
Now, when you say our services, you're talking about Planned Parenthood or?
Our Navigator Services.
Navigator Services. Yeah.
If you do need our services, we can be reached at a 1-800 number, which is the Planned Parenthood number, but they can get you directly to a navigator. You just call and ask for a navigator. The toll-free number is 1-877-811-7526.
And we will put that up on our website as well, but I'll just repeat that, 1-877-811-7526.
Correct. And if you are a Planned Parenthood patient, they accept several insurances, including the insurance from the Marketplace Exchange. So, you know, you don't have to worry about if you would like to stay with Planned Parenthood if you are a current patient of Planned Parenthood and you're comfortable with the services that they offer and the provider that you want to stay with. They do accept those insurances that are offered through the Marketplace Exchange.
Can other businesses and organizations book Planned Parenthood navigators for an enrollment event?
Sure. Any organization out there that would like to host an enrollment event, just call us at the 1-877 number that I provided. Ask for the ACA navigator, which will get you to either one of my colleagues or myself, and just request that you would like to have an enrollment event, and we can talk further and get that arranged.
Oh, okay. So that's a good service. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add or any special instructions or tips for people?
Tips for people. If you plan on going through the marketplace, there are a couple of deadlines if you would like your insurance to start the following month. For example, if you go early in November, November 15th, and you would like to have your insurance start December 1st, well, November 15th would be the only time that you would be able to go in there and choose a policy and pay for that first month premium for it to start on the first of the month. So anywhere between the 1st and the 15th of each month during open enrollment, if you would like that to start the 1st of the following month, it would have to be between the 1st and the 15th that you would go and pick out and select your plan and pay for your premium. After the 15th, and the end of the month, your insurance premium or your insurance policy will start the following month after. So if you apply after November 15th, in between November 16th and November 30th, then your policy will start January 1st.
Okay.
So that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you'll have a month there with no insurance.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if you are currently planning on doing the open enrollment, you just have to make sure that you see when your current policy ends and then what time you would want the new policy to start, so right, you won't have a lapse in coverage.
But this wouldn't be a problem for people that are enrolling with the same provider, would it?
It will not be a problem at all, because it will just be a transition, right, start of a new month, no lapse whatsoever.
Okay, good. Okay, is there anything else?
Well, if there is anything that I have missed, please feel free to give us a call at our office. We'll be happy to walk.
That's the number you've already given, right?
Yes, yeah. The 1-877-811-7526, and we will be more than happy to assist you with any questions, concern, or just your enrollment needs.
Well, my guest has been Shanette White, who's a navigator for the Affordable Care Act, and she's working through Planned Parenthood of the Heartland. Thank you so much for coming today to talk to us.
Thank you, Kay. Thanks for having me.
That number again for finding a Planned Parenthood navigator is 1-877-811-7526.
And this is Local Talk on Community Radio, KHOI. I'm one of your hosts today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with my co-host Kay Patak, and we've been hearing about the Affordable Care Act and the open enrollment period, which starts tomorrow.
And just another point, since neither of our guests said anything about the possibility of scams, While people are getting a bit panicky here, or might be getting a bit panicky, we should probably just mention to our listeners that no government representative will call you or send you email to solicit you to sign up for any particular enrollment plan. So you shouldn't give out any personal information to anyone who calls or emails you claiming to be a representative of the government or the Affordable Care Act, because they'll be lying if they say that. Instead, you should go to healthcare.gov or call 1-800-318-2596, or you could call the Planned Parenthood number and ask for a navigator, 1-877-811-7526.
And again, remember that KHOI archives our radio programs, so if there's any numbers or information, there's a lot of information packed into these two interviews. You can hear these again online at khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. And on the homepage, if you click on the Listen Live button to your left on the homepage, you will find the archive, and you can find Local Talk listed there, and you can listen to this show again minutes after the show ends this morning. And as usual, we'll also post this show on our homepage on the website, khoifm.org. So real information packed show. And we hope that this has been helpful to you, especially those of you who are enrolling under the Affordable Care Act for the first time, or who are thinking of changing your insurance provider. Well, Downtown Ames is kicking off its holiday season tonight. Ruth Wiedemeyer, are you with us?
I'm here, Ursula. Good morning.
Hi. Ruth is the manager of the Octagon gift shop and also the KHOI treasurer. But Ruth, can you tell us what's happening?
Well, the holiday season arrives on Main Street in downtown Ames this evening. And it begins with Mayor Ann Campbell lighting the snow magic tree in the Tom Evans Plaza in downtown Ames. And that will begin at 6 p.m.
And then what else happens? The Octagon is also having your opening tonight for your Christmas trees, right?
Yes, in conjunction with the Main Street Cultural District's event of Snow Magic on Main, the Octagon will kick off the annual Festival of Trees display in the Main Gallery.
Now, for anyone who may not have ever been there, just give us a brief description of what the Festival of Trees is.
The Festival of Trees is a display of over 50 trees, decorated trees and wreaths. And the trees have been decorated by various local organizations. This year we have trees, among a few of the trees are by Ames Tribune has a tree, Wheatfield, and many other local organizations.
So how many trees do you have?
We'll have over 50 trees and wreaths this year.
Wow. So it's a very, very beautiful exhibit. I have to say I saw it last year. And it's in the main gallery at the Octagon?
Main gallery on third floor. And many of these, excuse me, I'm coming down with a bit of a cold.
Yeah, aren't we all? but there is, Ruth, tonight there will be open house in up and down Main Street, right, including KHOI, in conjunction with the kickoff of the holiday season. Is that correct?
Yes. The downtown, the Snow Magic tonight will be from 5 to 8 p.m. with the tree lighting at 6, and then businesses will be open till 8 p.m. all throughout downtown, holding open houses. And the Festival of Trees will be open from 5 to 8 p.m. as well.
Okay. And then just before you go, you're also having a new exhibit coming up at the Octagon. You want to tell us about that?
Yes. This evening, there are there's actually two exhibits that we'll be holding opening receptions for. One is a dual exhibit by Des Moines artist Mary Klein Meisel. And this will be some very large, beautiful paintings. And the other artist in this exhibit is Ames resident Chris Martin, who is also an associate professor in the Design College at Iowa State. And both artists have current works in this exhibit. And Chris has returned from 2 years in Africa, and many of his pieces, he has drawn inspiration from local tribal aesthetics to express his creative vision. His work reflects the various craft forms and pays homage to the traditional artisans in Ghana. West Africa.
Is the exhibit of is it furniture that he's exhibiting, or is it more sculpture?
These pieces are furniture pieces. There's a number of seating pieces, and also an incredibly beautiful chest, which is called the Cabinet of Curiosity.
Okay, great. And it's good to hear Max, too. Okay. Okay, well, thank you so much. And thank you for the report. And so this is really an invitation for folks to come on down to Main Street tonight and enjoy the snow magic, which actually will have snow this year, and to go to the Festival of Trees at the Octagon. And the address of the Octagon?
The Octagon's at 427 Douglas in downtown Ames.
Okay.
Right opposite KHOI.
That's right. Okay. Thank you, Ruth. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. And just want to invite the public out tonight to enjoy Snow Magic on Main, again, organized by the Main Street Cultural District, and the Festival of Trees at the Octagon Center.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. Take care.
Thank you.
So there is really a lot going on downtown in Ames tonight. And to add to the excitement, to the end of our show today, Belinda Merritt has joined us, and Belinda is our new addition to Local Talk. Welcome, Belinda. And you're going to tell us about music events available this weekend, right?
Yes. For those who enjoy live music, I have a few options for this weekend. Tonight, Friday, November 14th, Anna Nalick, 5, and Leslie DeNicola will be at the Maintenance Shop. The Candy Makers will be at DG's Tap House, and Abby Normal will be at The Bar at 9 o'clock p.m., and this will also be The Bar's 16th anniversary party. On Saturday, November 15th, legendary Shack Shakers will be at DG's Tap House. Around the Atom will be at Crossroads Tavern. And this is not live, but there is an event, Electromania, which is an electronic all-ages show, will be at 8 o'clock p.m. at Blue Stem, which was formerly Zeke's. There will be live DJs Struya and Range. Sunday, November 16th, the Rumkey Mountain Boys, a bluegrass group, with Chad Elliott, will be at Blue Stem at 7 through 10:30 p.m. And Monday, November 17th, Jason Surratt at DG's Tap House. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Belinda. And please come back and give us a report next week on music. It's really great to have you come into the show and provide that information.
Yes,
thank you.
Well, that's it for Local Talk. We've been your hosts for today, Kay Potok and Ursula Rudenberg.
Local Talk was engineered by Rebecca Bound today, and our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Winter Woods by Peter Mayer. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show, and if you would like to join our team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878. 292-287. You're most welcome to join us or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. If you enjoyed this show, tell your friend and friends and check us out on Facebook. You can also listen to this show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at khoifm.org. And you can find today's show on our homepage as soon as our webmaster, Ron Carson, is able to post it. Thank you, Ron.
KHOI is now streaming live online at khoifm.org. where you can also find archives of KJY's shows. Please remember that you, as the listener, are the most important part of local talk. Your participation as an audience and your generous donations help make it all possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.